The best new releases of the week. 2010 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
But the love of your life lives but lies no more, and where she lay a flower grows. In the arms that fed and the babes that wed and the backs that bled, keeping her in tow. But I am your keeper, and I hold your face away from. I am yours till they come. I am yours till they come.
Okay, on Triple J on 2010, that is Laura Marling. Stunning track, Devil's Spoke, from her forthcoming second album, which is out next weekend. The new album from Laura Marling is called I Speak Because I Can. We were big fans of her debut a couple of years ago, Alas I Cannot Swim. She's now 20. She emerged out of the London folk scene alongside Mumford & Sons and Noah and the Whale. And musicians from both of those groups help her out musically on this new record. I got the chance of speaking to her when she was in the country a little while ago about the making of this new record. And I asked her whether she felt more confident as a songwriter and also performer on this new release.
I know my place in the world a bit better, so that probably goes into everything, makes everything a bit easier.
In terms of expressing ideas and knowing what you want to say?
Yeah, well, and who I am and why I would say those things.
So what are you saying on this record, do you think? Is there an overriding theme, do you think?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't think that was actually particularly up to me. When I write a song, it comes out and it's written, and I might not write another song for a month or 2 months, and I don't seem to have much control over it. So the themes are unconscious themes, but they seem to be consistent.
Do songs ever contradict each other? For instance, 1 month you might be hit by a certain emotion, write a song, a couple of months later,
yeah,
something different occurs to you and you feel like you're doubling up on what you said before?
Yeah, I think it definitely happens in this album. I think from beginning to end you can hear the contradiction. I guess that's the nature of trying to articulate something. It's just exploratory rather than the answer, maybe. I think there's a little bit of like wanting to be and feeling like a woman and wanting to rebel against that, and then there's a little bit of sort of town and country rebellion and figuring out where and why. And
but there's a strength there. I don't hear like there's no weakness here. I feel like there's a strength in the characters. Is that you though?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm pretty strong. Strong-minded isn't a word, maybe. I think I know what I'm doing, right? But then I'm not entirely sure.
Speaking of contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
I'm blamed for every wrong ever you made. Forgive me, I am only a maid. Forgive me, I am only a maid. But I can still see a babe under all that blame. But I am forgot from the day I am laid.
In terms of making this record as well, was it a different process? It's much more layered in sound. There's more stuff going on within the songs, production-wise.
Yeah, it was more free production. And we did it all live. The band came in and they'd been playing with me for so long that they kind of knew what I wanted and they wrote their own parts. So it was quite an open session.
And, of course, you worked with three of the guys from Mumford & Sons.
Mm.
That was part of the band. And was it Tom from Noah and the Whale?
Yeah.
That you worked with as well? So this is the core unit in the studio. When you brought the songs to them, did you find that they were changing much?
Yeah, they did. There's a few times that had to sort of keep it Laura Marling, because obviously Mumford & Sons play together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I do like their sound, but I didn't want the sounds to mix. So I had an idea of what I wanted, and I don't like heavy drums. I don't like electric bass all that much. I don't like strummed electric guitar. I have a list of things that I don't like. And then Tom Hobden just comes in and he can do whatever he likes. I don't know, he's amazing.
So with all those sort of things that you didn't like about the sounds of certain instruments, were you very good at telling them, don't do that, stop that, don't like that at all?
I just can't articulate things very well, so I get a bit frustrated. So that was a bit difficult for me and for them, I think. Like, I literally shake with frustration. But I think they knew what when I was getting agitated or, you know, when I couldn't quite describe how I wanted it to sound, and they just tried different things until they found out, you know.
Forgive me,
Hearer, I cannot stay. Cut out my tongue, there is nothing to say. Love me, O Lord, he threw me away. He laughed at my sins, in his arms I must stay. We write, that's all right. I'm Mrs. Smell.
Do you feel very protective of the songs? I think you might.
Yeah, well, they're like my kids or whatever. They're like flesh and blood. To me, they're very special. They're exactly how I'd want them to be. The songs and the lyrics are just a part of me that I'm not in control of, but I'm amazed that they come out that way.
I was saying to you before, I'm really impressed with this record. I think it's going to be a record that a lot of people are going to love this year. Do you think so as well? Are you confident?
I don't know. No, I'm not confident, but I hope it'll be okay. I feel a little bit exposed. I know that it's not normal, but it feels very normal to me. And the songs aren't, you know, too left of centre, but it doesn't fit into many categories. But maybe that's a really good thing. I don't know.
The only scene that you've been associated with is the so-called London folk scene, which has been written about for a number of years, but it only ever seems to include you, Mumford and Sons, and Noah and the Whale.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be much of a scene being all the way over here in Australia. Is that the sum total of it?
No, I mean, that's the worst thing, 'cause it's called a scene, and then only a couple of people are mentioned, and it's not a scene, because scene implies exclusivity, all sorts of horrible things. But they are a whole bunch of amazing songwriters who have something quintessentially British about them, which I think is very exciting. Something's been missing from popular music for a while, but there's something really old English about and sort of graceful and elegant about the music that's coming from these people. You know, we're on the edges of folk, all of us. We're not really true folk. But so there are some in London, but, you know, you probably won't hear of them until a couple of years when they've built up a body of work.
But a friend of mine says it's good to hear that you believe in love, even if sin and fear will hold you there, brother, and sit you straight. I only believe true love is frail and willing to break.
And that old Englishness, is that some sort of a reaction, do you think, to some of the stuff that we live with these days in the modern world?
We all seem to be of a similar generation, and I'm wondering whether that might have something to do with the generation previous to us and whatever affected them. But there's a lot of people who are starting to care about making a point about various things that they disagree with, and I think that's healthy. I think it's good. I think it's good for young people to be forming opinions.
And that is Laura Marling having a chat to me when she was actually in the country in January about this staggeringly great new album of hers, which once again is called I Speak Because I Can, and it's going to be released worldwide next weekend.
The best new releases of the week, 2010 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.